we're now studying the sugya of Ein Shliach Udvar Avera. And let's just quickly review what we know from yesterday's discussion. And then we'll lead up to another dimension of the sugya, which is called Akvi Likata. What we studied yesterday was the Tosfos Dibra Maskil Di Omar Yisrael Kaddish Li Isha. And that's the next to the last Tosfos here on Daf Yud Amud Beis. And we were focused on the second teretz of Tosfos. Tosfos wants to know, according to Rav and Kiddushin, who says that Kidesh ain't a loke ball loke in the case of a kohen le grusha, what is the nafkamina here between, just reviewing what we did yesterday, what's the nafkamina here between Ravina and Rav Sama? You're talking about Yeshliach Ludvar Veir according to Ravina, because the Yisrael is a lav bar chiyuva as far as marriage to a kohen, as far as marriage to a grusha is concerned, and therefore Yeshliach Ludvar Veir. Whereas Rav Sama would say, Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid would apply here in this case of the Yisrael who was sent as a Shliach, and therefore ain't Shliach Ludvar Vera. But what difference does it make? Even if I hold Yeshliach Ludvar Vera, we're holding now like Rava, that Kidesh Velo Baal is ain't a loka. How you doing, Rabbi? Shalom Aleichem. Just come back from Chutzlitz recently? Okay. How was the weather there? Which part of the world were you with?
In New York, very cold.
Very cold, I can imagine. Oh, boy. New York this time of year is like Alaska.
Been to Alaska?
I was there in Alaska. I'm just using that.
Yeah,
it's like Toronto. Could be worse than Toronto.
Winnipeg.
A whole different story.
Satosis gives an answer which seems very, very much a groundbreaking answer. And Tosfos says the following, that if we suspend the principle of Ein Shliach Ludvar Vera, according to Ravina, and in this case, Yesh Shliach Ludvar Vera, because the Shliach is a lav bar chiyuva, then an afkamina is not whether or not the Kohen, the Mishalech, is culpable, is liable for Kedushe Grusha, because... we're holding like Rava now, Kiddush ain't a loke. But rather it's the nafkamina is whether the Kiddushin is chal or not. Which means, and Tosfos seems to be really breaking new ground over here, that if the Shliach Lidvar Vera is included in the parasha of Shlichus, then we have two nafkaminas. We have nafkamina number one as to whether or not the Mishalech is liable for the Avera, if you hold Yesh Shliach Lidvar Vera. And number two, whether or not, in this particular case, the Kedusha will be Chal. Because in order for the Kedusha to be Chal, the Torah has to recognize the validity of the Shlichus. So that according to Ravina, that the Torah recognizes the validity of the Shlichus because the Shliach is a Lav Bar Chiyuva, then the Kohen is now married to this woman, this Grusha. She's a Mekudeshes. Because the Shlichus is valid, and therefore the Kedushin is valid. Mashen can coin to Rav Sama, who holds Ein Shliach Ludvar Avera, then the Shlichus is completely bottle, it's meaningless, and therefore the Kedushin is not Chal. So if we're looking for an afkamina between Ravina and Rav Sama, in the case of Yei Shliach Ludvar Avera coin to Ravina, or Ein Shliach Ludvar Avera coin to Rav Sama, there's a tremendous afkamina as far as the validity of the Kedushin, meaning, is she an Eishes Ish or not? Even though in Hilchas Avera, there's no afkamina because we're holding like Rava, and the Avera is the Be'ila, not the Kedushin. But as far as the validity of the Kedushin is concerned, then the significance of the Shlichus is tremendous. If there is Shlichus, then she's an Eishes Ish, the Kedushin is valid, she'll leave it to get. If, on the other hand, there's no Shliach in this case, because the Torah excluded this from Shlichus, then there's no Kedushin, and she doesn't need a get. That's the difference. So yesterday, what we tried to analyze was the first Teretz of Tosfos. Why did the first Teretz of Tosfos reject, or shall we say, why was the first Heretzitosis inhibited about the second Heretzitosis? So we said yesterday, and we built this on Rav Shimon Shkop, is that the parsha of Shlichus, which has two dimensions to it in the case of an Avera, it's the guilt that would relate back to or would be incumbent upon the Mishaleach, and number two, the validity of the Kiyum HaMaisa, of the repercussions of the Shlichus. Those are the two dimensions of Shlichus in the case of Avera. When the Torah says Ein Shlichus V'Avera, what the Torah is saying is that the Avera is not related to the Mishaleach. The Mishaleach is not responsible for the Avera. However, as far as the Kiyum HaShlichus is concerned, it's irrelevant whether it's a Dvar Avera. When the Torah excludes Shlichus in the case of an Avera, that's only as far as the Avera is concerned, but not as far as the Shlichus is concerned. In other words, to set up a Shlichus for Avera, you can't do so because Ein Shlichus Dvar Avera. But that doesn't mean that the entire enterprise of Shlichus is completely null and void. The Shlichus is still very much alive and well and valid as far as the Kiyum HaMaisa is concerned. And therefore, there's no nafkamina between Rav Sama and Ravina, because they're only arguing in terms of Yeshliach or Eishliach about the Avera per se and all the responsibility thereof. So if you want to punish me because I sent the Shliach, so it depends on Yeshliach or Avera or Eishliach or Avera. But as far as the Kiyum HaMaisa is concerned, Kuli Alma lo pligi, even Rav Sama would say that the Shlichus is valid, and although the Mishaleach is not held liable for any punishments as far as the Avera is concerned, but as far as the Kiyum HaShlichus is concerned, this is included in the parasha of Shlichus. So even Rav Sama would say that she's a Mekudeshes, and the Kedushin is valid. That's the Chiddush of Rav Shimon Shkop. And again, that's going to be the machlokas now between the two Terutzim of Tosfos. The second Terutzim of Tosfos says that if ain't Shlichus V'Avera, then the entire enterprise of Shlichus is completely B'Telo U'Mevuteles. And therefore, if I hold like Rav Sama, that he boy Ovid, lo and boy Ovid, therefore ain't Shlichus V'Avera applies in the case of the Yisrael who was sent as a Shliach to bury off a grush to the Kohen, then ain't Shlichus V'Avera means that the whole enterprise of Shlichus is completely null and void, and the Kedushin is not Chal. It means twofold. Number one, the Mishaleach is liable, but in this case we hold like Rava, so there's no liability for Kedushin. But it also means that the Shlichus is valid, and hence the Kedushin is Chal. According to the first Heretzitosis, the first Heretzitosis wants to say the following, that I can't accept your approach. I'm going to tell you that even according to Rav Sama, Ein Shlichus V'Avera is only relevant to that aspect of Shlichus that touches upon Onshim and Avera. But as far as the aspect of Kiyum HaMaisa of Shlichus, then even though it's a Dvar Avera, the Shlichus is not completely removed. In other words, it's not that in an Avera there is no Shlichus. We're not being Mafkia the Torah Shlichus. We're only being Mafkia the Torah Avera. And what we tried to explain yesterday was that it could be that according to the first Heretzitosis, that everybody would agree that the Kedushin is Chal and the Shlichus is valid, even if you hold like Rav Sama, and even if you apply Ein Shlichus V'Avera. What it means is that Shlichus has two dimensions to it. There's the Maisa, and then there's the result of the Maisa, the Chalos HaMaisa. According to the first Heretzitosis, that's what I think Rav Shimon is arguing, when the Torah says Ein Shlichus Dvar Avera, it's only as far as the Maisa is concerned, but has no relevance and no bearing to the Chalos HaMaisa. So as far as Kedushin is concerned, there will be a Chalos Kedushin, even if I apply the principle of Ein Shlichus Dvar Avera. The Ein Shlichus Dvar Avera is totally focused on the Maisa. Does the Maisa become the Maisa of the Mishaleach, and therefore he's liable and he gets punished for it? Or does the Maisa remain the Maisa of the Shliach? But even in a case where I grant you that the Maisa remains the Maisa of the Shliach, nevertheless the Shlichus is still alive and well, it's still valid as far as the Kiyum HaMaisa is concerned. Therefore, even according to Rav Sama, she's Mekudeshes. Whereas the second Heretzitosis says that Ein Shlichus V'Avera means not only that the Maisa doesn't relate back to the Mishaleach, but that the Kiyum HaMaisa doesn't relate back to the Mishaleach, because basically the Torah is completely excluding Shlichus. If the Maisa doesn't relate back, And this really, in effect, this is a reflection of the most basic hakira in how shlichus operates. The shlichus operates on the level of the maisa, that the maisa shliach relates back to the mishalecha. No, the shliach remains the bala maisa. But the Torah says that as far as the effects and the impacts of his maisa, that's where the shlichus relates back to the mishalecha. Okay, that's just a review of quick review of yesterday's shia, and now we'll begin today's shia. The Gemara offers a second nafkamina between Ravina and Rav Sama. Inami, the Gemara says, Ish di omar lo li isha akfi li katan. So let's just get the facts down on the ground. You'll bear with me now. The Torah says in Parshas Kedoshim, Lo sakifu pi'as roshchem. Roshchem. And this Iser of hakofas pa'as ha-rosh only applies to a male and not to a female, which is really interesting in and of itself, because normally we exempt women from mitzvah saseh zman groma, and we're not talking about a zman groma here. In fact, hushvu akosiv isha li'ish l'chol onshim shabbat Torah. So we would assume that just like a man is prohibited in bal takiv, so to a woman is prohibited in bal takiv. But you're gonna have to go into a whole discussion here about how bal takiv works. Bal takiv is based on lo sashchis es pa'as zikonecha. So there's a package deal here, which has different kinds of lavim that all relate to one unifying miksha achas, one principle, unifying principle. There's hashchosas pi'as hazokon, and then there's hakofas pi'as harosh. And the Gemara assumes in the Sefer Makis that anyone who's included in Losashkas Pias Konecha is included in Losakif Pias Roshechem, but a woman who's not Muzar in Losashkas Pias Konecha is therefore not included in the Azar of Lotakifu. And if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskil Vikadeshli Isha, Rashi says, again, it's a question where you put the Dibra Maskil here, but Rashi says, Isha ena musheres bilo sakifu, lefisha ena bebal tashkas pias zekonecha. So again, this Gemara is quoted in a few different places, but Rashi quotes it from a Sefer Kiddushin. So again, let's get the basic principle. If you're not included in bal tashkas pias zekonecha, then ipso facto you're not included in the lav of lo sakifu pias roshechem. Oh. Now there's a second half of this Rashi which I'm holding off on for just a minute. So now what happens? A man sends a woman as a shliach to the makiv a katan. So the Gemara says the following: Lahach lishna, according to Rav Sama, the Omer kol heicha di boy avid di boy lo avid lo machayv sholcho. We apply the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera as long as the Shliach is not like the Chatzer, in the case of Gneva, and the Shliach could make a decision one way or the other whether to fulfill the Shlichus or not. Is Hachinami here too, in the case of an Isha, is Iboy Ovid, Iboy Lo Ovid? She could decide whether or not she'll fulfill the Shlichus and be Makiv the pa'as rosho of the katan, and therefore ain't shliach l'dvar avera. It's the male. The Gemara says lo machayv sholchan, but lahach lishna koy teravina, who says that whether or not it's shliach l'dvar avera kol heichad the shliach la bar chiyuva machayv sholcho is hani nami. In this case as well, in the case of an isha vis-a-vis the isha of hakofas pasal rosh came into la b'nei chiyuva ninu, she's considered a la bas chiyuv, and therefore the shlichus is meaningful, it's valid. And we don't apply the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera because she's not a Bar Chiyuva. And therefore, Machayev Sholchan, and the man who sent her is going to be Chayev. So what I'd like to do with you now is ask a number of questions on this Gemara, and then I want to read to you a couple of insights of the Rishonim and the Achronim that are brought down here in the Masifta. So, Yechiel, I know you have access to the Masifta, so we're on Yud, Amin Beis, Nobe Gimel. You know, it works with those brackets. So if you want to take a look, he says the following. He says, Lav Dafka Katan. The first question we want to ask is, why does the Gemara say, Akfi Li Katan? What difference does it make whether the person who's the mukaf, or the nikaf, if you want to call him that, is a katan or a gadol? In both cases, the same lav applies, and the woman is excluded from the lav. So why mention a katan? So Rashi says, lav dafka katan. So where is this Rashi? This is the second half of the Rashi that I quoted to you earlier. Rashi says, v'amakev es ha-katan chayav. Now, you might have said that only someone who's included in the azhara of not being makif his own pa'asa rosh, he is prohibited in being makif someone else's. He is included in the iser for someone else not to be makif him. Are you with me? It's kind of like the Gemara in Kiddushin about the Talmud Torah, that she only has to teach Torah to someone because she herself has to learn Torah. So if she's obligated in Talmud Torah, then she would have to teach others Torah. But if she's not obligated in Talmud Torah, she doesn't have to teach others Torah. So here too, we have assumed that there's a how do you say in English, a tlut, an interdependence, if you're familiar with that word, between makif and nikaf. So if somebody is prohibited in being makif his own pa'as rosha, then he is a nikaf. But if he's not included in the azara, which enjoins him from being makif others, therefore he doesn't have the status of nikaf. However, in the case of katan, he does have the status of a nikaf, and that's derived from the pasuk lo sakifu, that the Torah went out of its way to use a plural of lo sakifu to include both an isa to the nikaf and to the makif as two independent isurim. So it's not interdependent, and we don't apply the principle of who's ever a nikaf is therefore who's ever included in bal takif is included on the nikaf. But no, there could be an isa on a nikaf even though that nikaf is not included in bal takif. So he doesn't have to worry about being makif others. He's not included in that azar. But yet, if somebody would be makif him, he becomes a nikav. And therefore, makif is a katan chayov. Why? Because there's a separate iser of makif that's equivalent to a nikav and replaces a nikav. Meaning, even when there's no iser on the nikav, you know, the Torah might have said, "Don't be makif someone because that person is not allowed to be a nikaf." In that case, the katan is excluded because he doesn't have the azar not being a nikaf. But the Torah says, "No, you can't be makif someone, even though that person is not enjoined from becoming a nikaf." And that's derived from the extra pasuk lo sakifu, echad a nikaf echad a makif. Okay, so far so good. There's an iser lav not to be makif someone else, even in that if that person would not be enjoined from being makif himself. He is not included in the iser of nikaf, but he's included as a nikaf vis-a-vis the makif. So a katan, even though he's not included in the iser to be makif himself, so he doesn't become a nikaf in that sense, but as far as someone else being makif him, he is a nikaf. But why does the Gemara mention katan? Says Rashi, Katan is because stoma. Stoma means like deeper akos of behove. He says katan nenakat mishum de mistoma gadol lo shavik la kufe nafshe. Rashi gives a, if you pardon the expression, some sort of balabatish svar over here that why would a gadol allow himself to become a nikaf? Is there any?
He's participating in some way by allowing it.
Is that what Rashi's saying? Or is Rashi saying that he wouldn't allow himself to be a nikav? Is it because of some sort of halacha, some sort of isur? And that would, in a sense, perhaps even alleviate the makif? I don't know. The Gemara says in makif that both the makif and the nikav are chayiv, assuming the nikav is a gadol. But mistama, every person has a cheskes kasher, as Rashi says, so the nikav is not going to submit himself to be a nikav. He's not going to allow himself. So maybe Rashi's saying in such a case there would be no shlichus. I don't know. So the Masifta quotes a Ritva. And the Ritva has a different take on why the Gemara mentions katan. Not the way Rashi says that the if the nikav was a gadol, he would not allow himself to be a nikav. But he says, Hagmar nokta katan, bishvil ashmiya, to tell me the chiddush of she'isa akofes pasa roshu gamba akofes roshu shal katan. So it's not a mitzius that it's only logical that, you know, the nikaf here in this case is going to be a katan, because most probably the gadol would not submit himself, but rather the Gemara wanted to tell me a din, a new chiddush. It's like agav urche kamashvachon, says the Ritva. And it's interesting because Rashi is also analyzing the sugya of katan. Is katan considered a nikaf as far as the isur for a gadol to be makif him? But he didn't go that one step further. He's saying that's why the Gemara mentioned katan, in order to have you learn this sugya in Masechta Kiddushin, that the nikaf, even if he's a katan, is subject to the makif's avera. But that's what the Ritva wants to say. And the Rashi says it's just not logical that the nikaf would be a gadol and he would agree to submit himself to this thing.
Is there any lefmeyiver laws with regard to gadol and tan? I mean, kananim that are gil chinuch, are you allowed to be, put them in a situation where they can be over on something that they have a chiva for chinuch, and the gadol will be over for lefmeyiver?
Could be. It's very possible. I think it might depend upon whether it's lifneiva or a derabbanan or not. You remember we discussed this. It could be lifneiva only applies to an isa doraisa. And then you have to ask yourself, is a katan actually included in chinuch as far as makif and nikaf? And then you have to ask yourself, how old is the katan?
Well, so the Gemara didn't make a distinction of what age this katan is. It's almost just saying it could be 3 years old, it could be 12 years and a half. Right. Not making a distinction.
But again, right now we're holding that lifneiva does not make you into bar chiyuv, because otherwise we're in trouble with the case of Kohen and Yisrael in the case of a grusha. Because again, if you're going to apply the principle of lifneiva, then ein shliach l'dvar avera would apply even according to Ravina, because although he's not a bar chiyuv as far as kedusha grusha, he'd be a bar chiyuv as far as lifneiva.
But
so lifneiva is not something which could accomplish the goal of ein shliach l'dvar avera.
But everyone has peyot. Every male has peyot. Not every male is a kohen, and not every woman is a grusha. So maybe the person didn't know 100%. This is a kohen. This is a grusha.
Could be.
But peyot is common to all.
Could be. Now Tosa seems to say.
Yeah. So I want to rush in a second. That he brings in the Gemara Kedushin, the Petur of the Ish, that the Yishur is not Rukhiyavet of all takifu. But this sort of opens up a door to another issue, because a katan, by definition being a katan, doesn't have a zakeni, then you start to ask yourself that.
Right, but a katan will have a zakeni, and Isha will never have a zakeni, so to speak, from a halachic perspective.
Okay. What I'm saying, he's tempting that question by saying that.
Mm-hmm.
No? I mean, it's another strange
possibly
thing.
Now take a look at Tosis. Tosis says, like Rashi, Akfili katan, hu adin, davi motzi lemeimer akfili gadol, el shagadol lo yaniach atzmo lehi nokev. I don't know, lehakev. Kiraminu b'perek. Oh, now Tosis quotes Makis. Tiomar anikaf, echer anikaf, yecher amakiv, chayel. So now Tosis is saying it's not just some sort of a psychological assumption on our part that the nikaf would probably object, but if the nikaf would agree to submit himself willingly to this process of hakofa, then he would violate the law of hakofa. The afal gav de mukile hosom ki nikaf misayele. Oh, it could be, Tosa says, at least on a Doraisa level, if the nikaf would be absolutely frozen and he wouldn't help the makif at all, then he's not chayev for nikaf, as being a nikaf. That the nikaf has to in some way move his head to facilitate the hakofa, Tosa says you're making a mistake. That's only as far as giving malchus. A nikaf will only get malchus if he moves his head in order to facilitate the hakofa. Otherwise, if he doesn't do so, then lo lucky. And the reason for that is because it becomes a lav she'en bo maisa. His passivity would not be enough to generate malchus, but as far as the lav is concerned, over li olam, even if he's totally passive. So Tosis therefore avoids any sort of question. You might say, well, let the nikaf be a gadol, just that he's not misayeya. So Tosis says, even if he's not misayeya, then he's in violation of the lav. The very fact that he consents to submit himself to the hakofa, that itself is a violation of the lav. And the precondition of Messiah is only relevant to the Chiv Malkus insofar as Lav Shembo Maisa ain't Lokin.
What if he's done the whole of altogether?
Okay, that's good. So that's going to be a discussion here that I want to go through with you in the Otsa Mefarshei Talmud. So let's just see what page we can take a look at. Just one second. Oh, here it is. Tuf Tzadi Hey. Hikshu. He says, they ask. He has a whole list of achronim here. Shud Rab Kiveger, Shud Kol Aryeh, Chidush Rab Meir Simcha. It's like a who's list amongst the achronim. Harei Begadol. This is, I said to you, Yechiel, that we're holding now that Lifnei Iver is not enough to apply the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So wait, let's just go back to Tosis. The Tosis has another sheet of Yesh Lomar. V'yafa gav di ov mishum leif lo sitei mikshol lo mikrei la bar chiyuva. So I'm trying to remember who disagrees with this Tosis. Just one second. Does anybody remember who, I forgot for the time being, who disagrees with this Tosis? Just one second, give me a minute. Tosis Dibra Maskil Di Omar. Right, we had this before, but I don't remember. Nobody remembers. Just one second. Oh, Yesh Makshim. This is going back to the case of Yisrael, who was sent as a shliach to Mekadesh a grusha for a kohen. Harei. Why do you tell me he's not a bar chiyuva? Harei al lifnei iver over him, but he violates lifnei iver. So there are two mahalchim. Some say that lifnei iver does not make him into a bar chiyuva, and others say that we're talking about trei iver denare. I'm sorry, we're talking about chad iver denare, meaning that the kohen has access to this grusha. She's not on the other side of the world. He could have been Makadisha himself, and therefore there's no lifnei iver. And then we have the toast. Then we have, I'm trying to remember the names, 353, the Note of Yehuda comes up with the following question: is there lifnei iver on an Issa Drabbanon? Because even though on a Doraisa level, lifnei iver is only in Chad in Lifnei Iver is only in Trei Iver Denara, but nevertheless the Rabbanon prohibited Lifnei Iver in Chad Iver Denara. So shouldn't he be a Bar Chiyuva based on the violation of a Drabbanon? Says no, Yehuda, that Lifnei Iver in a Drabbanon is not enough to make him into a Bar Chiyuva. So again, we have two Mahalchim here. One Mahalch is that we have to somehow solve the problem of Lifnei Iver. Otherwise, even Ravina would negate the shlichus because it's a violation. He's a bar chiyuva. Whereas Tosfos seems to be assuming that he doesn't violate Lifnei Iver because it's Treyer B'Denaros. Treyer B'Denaros. So let's get back to our case of Akfili Katan. Tosfos wants to know, and Rashi and the Ritva, everybody wants to know, why did you mention Katan? So Tosfos says, because if it was a Gadol, then he would not submit himself. Oh. So now, we're going to ask another question about Lifnei Iver. If he's a Gadol, and she is now being makif him, right, so just let me get the cheshbon here, that in such a case, she would violate Lifnei Iver. Why? Because he has a nikaf. The Tosfos says he's not going to agree to be a nikaf, correct? Mm-hmm. But so Tosfos says lav dafka katan, meaning our sugya according to Tosfos could be referring even to a gadol. Oh, let's read the first part of Tosfos. Hu adin davi matzu lemeimer akfili gadol. And Tosfos says it's not going to happen, right? The gadol is not going to agree because then he violates the iser of a nikaf. But enochidami, according to Tosfos, you can cross out the word katan in Agumar and place it and replace it with the word gadol. Who had din gadol? What's the name of gadol? Now he's asking the following question. This is all this whole slew of achronim. Now Tosfos has sort of reawakened the skeleton from the closet, because now we're back to Lifnei Iver again. Meaning that if the nikaf is going to violate the Isra HaKofas Rosh, then she will violate Lifnei Iver. Again, she's not liable for HaKofa. Her Maisa HaKofa would not generate any violation because she's not included in Pasukana. But nevertheless, she's definitely included in Lifnei Iver. Again, this touches on the whole question of Kahanaman, whether or not you can violate Lifnei Iver if you don't share the Iser of that other person. Where Rav Kahneman came up with two different categories of Lifnei Iver, right? If you are being machshel someone and you share the same Avera, that's Lifnei Iver. If you don't share the same Avera, then that's called Lahachshel Asa Onam Ba'Avera.
So again, it should make a difference it's a Kotel or a Godel.
Right, so now we're saying, according to Tosfos, that even if it's a gadol, you would still say that she's a la bar chiyuva, and therefore havi matzal meimer gadol. And our goal is to explain that according to Ravina, the shliach is a la bar chiyuva. Tosfos says, yeah, we can have it in a case with a gadol. So now the question is, if the gadol is going to violate the Isra HaKofa as a nikav, then she as a makif is now violating Lifnei Iver. So that should make her into a bar chiyuva. Oh, the afalgav de kosva tosis. This is the tosis about the coin and the grusha. That what? That ain't isur lifnei iver machshiva lebar chiyuva. Ach taimam sham hu mipnui shehaya osa biatzmo. Lo haya over. Avalkan afim hoysa makifa beloshlifus hoysa veres al lifnei iver. Just 1 second. That in the case of the Kohen and the Grusha, there if he would have violated this Iser himself, just 1 second, if he would have been Makadish the Grusha himself, Lohaya Over. In other words, Tosfos holds that fundamentally Lifnei Iver would be enough to make you into a Bar Chiyuva. There, in the case of Kohen, for technical reasons, because we're applying the Sheet of Rava, that Kiddush Velo Baal, etc., etc., therefore there's no Lifnei Iver. But if there would have been Lifnei Iver, then that would make you into a Bar Chiyuva. The Afkan, Afim Hoysa Makifa below Shlifus, Hoysa Veres Al Lifnei Iver. So this should make her into a Bar Chiyuva. So on this question, we have two approaches. The first approach is going to be that of Rabbi Kiveger, and the second approach is going to be that of Rabbi Shlomo Eger, his son. So this is interesting. So the first answer is that Ein lif neiver osel bar chiyuv kevon she'eno beikar alav. Oh, now we're going back to Rav Kahanevin, right? That you can only be in violation of the neiver if you're included in the avera. So the Torah is addressing you and saying, not only are you enjoined from this avera, you're not allowed to trip up anyone else. But here she doesn't have the avera of hakofa, and therefore there's no lif neiver. So this, for example, would be relevant to selling something to a guy for purposes of his worshipping an idol, if it's a kind of avoda which you wouldn't be chai for as a Yisrael. Would you be violating lifnei iver? Okay, that's the first answer. And Rabbi Kiveger goes a step further and he says, Meduva sheyochel ha-hakifasat satzma, maybe there's no lifnei iver here, not because she's not musheres in the law of hakofa, but because it's what you call chad ibra denara. And then we get into that whole discussion about lifnei ibra derabbanon of the yesha tirates. Now we're up to Reb Shloimeger. Sheyos vashliach eno choshesh mea isur v'ayamuchan lakifo af belishlichus is gam kisha osay de shlichus domel achad ibra denara she'ein hamashaleach over belifnei iver uksha havera l'shliach belvad yesh shliach l'dvar havera. Not sure what he means by ksha havera l'shliach belvad, but let's get the resha. So Rav Shlomo Eger wants to suggest the following, that there's no iser of lifnei iver if circumstances indicate that the other person would be willing
to do it anyway.
Just 1 second. No, that's not what he's saying. Not sure what he's introducing a whole new principle into the equation. He's saying that we have to ask the following question: when the shliach implements an avera, is he doing it on his own, or is he doing it as a shliach? Meaning, would he violate the savera if he weren't a shliach, if he had not been appointed as a shliach? If the only reason he's doing the avera is because he was appointed as a shliach, I'm not sure what he means by that. Does he mean obedience, or does he mean some sort of
mekadesh grusha? If he didn't have shlichus from the mekadesh, then he wouldn't be. But on the other hand, the isha could be makif the katan without being asked to do so.
Right, so he's saying something about Lechora, about the principle of Yesh Shlich L'Var Vera, Ein Shlich L'Var Vera. And he's saying that Ein Shlich L'Var Vera means when the Shliach is operating as a Shliach, meaning he's motivated because he was sent as a Shliach. But if the Shliach just simply doesn't care about the Avera, doesn't care about the Isur, and even had he not been sent as a shliach, he would have, in any event, implemented that avera. Is therefore, since he's only talking about lifnei iver. Maybe he's only talking about lifnei iver. So he's saying that lifnei iver only applies when the iver is an iver, but if he's not an iver, he would have done it anyway. But why does he say Yosfa Shliach Eino Choshish Meisur? Why doesn't he talk about the Mishaleach, right? The person who sent this woman to be Makiv the Katan, does he care about the Shliach with Shlichus or not? Do you follow my point? In other words, if you want to know whether she is violating lifnei iver, you have to ask yourself whether the mishaleach is an iver. But that's not what Rav Shlomo Eger is saying. I missed this one crucial word here. B'yesha tireit she'yos v'hashliach eino choshesh mea iso v'yamuchan la'akifo af belishlichus
shaliach. He says a shaliach.
Right, since the shaliach himself would have done this even had he not been a shaliach. So again, I'm not sure exactly what that means here, that she would have been makif the katan even if she hadn't been asked to do so. I don't know what he means, but in any
she's
event,
she's capable of doing it. She's capable of doing it. She doesn't need to be a shliach to be makif the katan.
No, but what does it mean? Ain choshesh mei ha'isur. I don't know. How do we know that she's not choshesh from the isur?
No, she's not the shliach. He said that she's the shliach.
Oh, maybe because there's no isur at all. Right? Ain choshesh mei ha'isur means that she's not included in the isur. I don't know.
Oh,
so if she's not included in the isur, then she would have been makif the katan.
Well, that's a big stretch. Because she's not chayav in the isur, doesn't mean she would do it to somebody else. Well, that's a big leap of faith. That these
no, in other words, if the Torah permits her to be makif the katan, what would inhibit her from doing so?
Yeah, but what's the nice in that?
That's what I think the rabbi is saying. Again, I don't know how to read the words. The question is, I don't have Rav Shlomo Eger in front of me. He says the following again: Heyos v'ashliach eno choshesh mei isur. V'ayamuchan la'kifo af b'li shlichus.
That's a shliach.
Okay. So again, the shliach would have done this with regardless of being sent as a shliach. Is therefore what? I don't understand what the conclusion is. Therefore we're going to say that ein shliach l'dvar avera, because he would have done it anyway. Since he would have done it anyway, therefore we apply the principle of what? Of ein shliach l'dvar avera. Now what was Rabbi Kivega's kasha originally? The original kasha was that we should say ein shliach l'dvar avera. We should say ein shliach l'dvar avera for another reason, because the shliach is now considered bar chiyuva based on lifnei iver. So again, Rabbi Kivega says, well, there's no lifnei iver because he could have done it himself, and therefore there's no. You know, and Rabbi Kivega wants to nip it in the bud and say that we're talking about a case where there's no lifnei iver. But ein chinami, if there would have been lifnei iver, that would make him into a bar chiyuva, and even Ravina would apply the principle of ein shliach l'dvar avera.
So Shlomo is moving one step forward up from that, saying it's not that the person himself, the man, is not a bar chiyuva. He's not over
So let's just mention Rabbi Kivega. So again, let's first make sure we understand Rabbi Kivega. So Rabbi Kivega says there are two different reasons why and how we can solve the problem of lifnei iver. There's no lifnei iver either because lifnei iver only applies if you yourself as a machshil are included in the avera. But if the machshil is not included in the avera, like in this case of hakafa, there's no lifnei iver. Or alternatively, we're talking about a scenario in which the mishaleach could have easily have done the hakafa on his own. He didn't need the help of the shliach, and therefore that's not called lifnei iver. And that has to do with something called chad iver denara. Fine. So at least I understand Rabbi Kivega. Now I'm trying to understand Rabbi Shlomo. He's again trying to explain what happens here with lifnei iver. Why shouldn't lifnei iver make the isha into a bas chiyuva, which means that we would again apply the principle of ein shlichus l'dvar avera. Our goal is to explain why, according to Ravina, there would be shlichus here. And the answer is that Rabbi Kivega's argument is that she should be considered a bar chiyuva, and therefore ein shlichus l'dvar avera, because she is over on lifnei iver. Oh. So he says the following. That if what? If the shliach is not choshesh for the isur, v'yemuchan lakifo af below shlichus, so even though now the shliach was sent as a shliach, then einam avera l'shliach yesh shliach l'dvar avera. Oh, I see. Wait, I'm not there yet, but at least I finally see the light at the end of the tunnel. Rav Shlomo Eger wants to know if the mishaleach is in violation of lifnei iver. I'm not sure why that's so significant, but let's just go through the logic. If the shliach would have violated the avera in any event, So in this case, she would be makiv even without shlichus. So even if she did it only because she was sent by the, you know, in this particular scenario, she was implementing the shlichus as she was appointed as a shliach. She was commissioned to do this. So in such a case, ein ha-mishalech over b'lifnei iver. I'm not sure why that's so significant, but he's saying that the mishalech doesn't violate lifnei iver. Why? Because in this case, she would have implemented this hakafa even without shlichus. Oh, so in that case, there's no violation of lifnei iver. And if there's any avera here, then it would be the avera of the isha. Now, again, what avera is she violating?
Nika.
Ukshavera l'shliach bilvad. I'm not sure what he means by bilvad. What does he mean? The avera is b'shliach bilvad. I'm not sure why. Oh, because you're holding ain shliach l'dvar. So if you're holding ain shliach l'dvar avera, because
then
he
says
yesh
shliach
l'dvar.
Yeah,
but no, the ain shliach l'dvar avera on the mishaleach.
Just one second. Shavira l'shliach bilvad. We don't have that much time, so I'm a little bit under the gun, but I do want to get to the point where I can understand Rav Shlomo Eger. So I'll give it another few minutes. Let's just see. Shavira l'shliach bilvad. So in other words, if there's no lifnei iver on the part of the mishaleach, then the only one who's violating an avera here is she's violating an avera. Just again, I don't know what that means, but just bear with me for a second. So then, once we alleviate the mishalech of an avera, and therefore we shift all the responsibility over to the shliach, and it's only she that's violating the avera, then we apply the principle of yesh shliach d'var avera. No, then we're going to apply the principle of yesh shliach d'var avera. Yeah, why is this yesh shliach d'var? If the mishalech would be over on lifnei iver, because it's only as a result of his command that the shliach violated this avera, then we're going to say ein shliach l'dvar avera. Why? Because since the mishalech is violating lifnei, once the mishalech is violating lifnei, oh, I see. No, again, I'm not sure if this is what he means, but the mishalech trusts the shliach not to do the avera because the shliach doesn't want to trip up the mishalech and lifnei iver. So in a case where the shliach is only motivated or is only willing to violate this avera because of the shlichus, then we're going to say ein shliach l'dvar avera. Why? Because under those circumstances, the mishalech, if the shliach actually implements the shlichus, would be violation of lifnei iver. Why? Because the aver only happened as a result of the mishalech. So the mishalech set up the aver. That's called lifnei iver. Again, I'm not sure what aver we're talking about here. That's a little bit confusing to me. But we can only be talking about lifnei iver. But in any event, if there's going to be in a situation where the shliach is fulfilling the shlichus because of the shlichus, then l'chora, that's a kind of all-around lifnei iver, if I understand correctly, which I'll try to explain in a minute. It's an all-around lifnei iver. Is therefore what? If it's in just one second, gam ksha ose al yidei shlichus is dome l'chad iver denaro she'ein ha-mishalech over. If theoretically the shliach would have done the shlichus regardless, then even if the shlichus was done b'torah shlichus, meaning it was implemented, the action was implemented because of the shlichus, in such a case there's no lifnei iver. Now again, when he says there's no lifnei iver, I think he's talking about the mishalech, right? He says it explicitly in the next line. He says she'ein ha-mishalech over b'lifnei iver. And the reason for that is because even had he not appointed the shliach as a shliach, the shliach would have no compunctions, no hesitations from implementing the shlichus.
So the shliach is not an iver.
Oh, so now the mishaleach. Just 1 second. I lost the trend. 1 second, Yosef. Give me a second. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my trend of thought. So the mishaleach now is not over lifnei iver because the shliach would have done it. Just 1 second. Again, even though the shliach did it as a result of the shlichus, but the shliach would have been willing to do it without the shlichus, and in such a case, the mishaleach does not violate lifnei iver. Okay, fine. So what's the punchline? Uksha havera l'shliach bilvad. Right, because again, we alleviated the mishaleach of lifnei iver because the shliach would have been willing to do the aveira even regardless of the shlichus. Is now that the avera is only for the shliach, then we're going to apply the principle of yesh shliach l'dvar aver. Why is yesh shliach? Let me just 1 second. If the avera is only to the shliach,
because you can't say
then. That. Oh, then we're going to say that. Yes. What? No, fakir divrei harav. That's not going to help me because that would mean ein shliach l'dvar aver. So why? Why is the mishaleach now he's liable here under the law of shlichus because the avera is the shliach's avera? In other words, ein shlichus dvar avera means that the mishaleach should be in violation. Ein shlichus dvar avera means because the mishaleach sent a shliach as a with a shlichus for an avera. But in this case, since the shliach is the one who would have, on his or her own initiative, implemented the avera, there's no violation of the isur. Yeah, but what about the fact that there's a violation of the isur hakofa? Right. And we're saying now that the nikaf is a katan, and also the Tosafot say even if the nikaf is a gadol, 324. Does he add anything in the footnote? No, he just says. Rav Shlomo Eger, Huva Shamochiach came mitosus a gittin. Ki ayin liel, he doesn't tell you where liel is. Machlokes achronim bazeh.
Yeah, but that would be the same way.
For some reason, I can't figure out why Rav Shlomo Eger is shifting the whole issue of the Avera to the question of Lifnei Iver. Does the Mishaleach violate Lifnei Iver? I'm not sure why that's relevant here. If we're holding yesh shliach l'dvar avera, and the reason for that is because the shliach is a lab bar chiyuva, then the mishaleach is chayev, not forget about lifnei iver, he's chayev for hakofa because yesh shliach l'dvar avera. And if he's chayev for hakofa, then paradoxically we're going to have to undermine the shliach. So why does Rabbi Shlomo Eger assume that if the mishaleach is not in violation of lifnei iver, because the shliach would have made that decision in any event, therefore we're going to say yesh shliach l'dvar avera? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it does, because the last part he's talking about is where his father addressed the fact when there's a gadol, that the gadol is the one that's getting the that is being shaved. So then,
well, again, the makif is chayv and the nikaf is chayv. In the case of the makif here, we have an isha. She's a lav bas chiyuva. If you apply the principle of yesh shliach l'dvar aver, then the mishaleach is the makif.
Why is the nikaf is over? He's over on lifnei iver because he's mesayeah. Right?
Well, no, if he's mesayeah, he violates hakofa. You don't even have, then you don't have to introduce lifnei iver. If he's not Messiah, he also violates, so says the violation of Akofa, just he doesn't get Malkus. Because he's passed.
What is he over on?
All I'm pointing out is Rav Shlomo Eger seems to be operating with some new principle here in Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, and he's going to tell you that in this case, since the Mishalech is not liable for Lifnei Iver, therefore Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera. What is going to force me to what is going to incline me to say yesh shliach l'dvar avera just because you alleviate the mishaleach of the isur of lifnei iver? We're worried about the isur of hakofa.
But he can't hide behind the idea that I didn't think he would do it.
I didn't think he would do it. Oh, so if you're telling me that the reason why yesh shliach l'dvar avera is because I didn't think he would do it, and therefore this, but here in a case where he'll probably do it anyway, Correct? So then, yes,
comes back to the Mishaleach.
Unless he would be in violation of Lifnei Iver, and then I would assume he wouldn't do it because he wouldn't want me to be offered of Lifnei Iver.
Yeah.
That's what you have to
ask.
Okay, Rabbi Moshe, we'll stop here. And maybe by tomorrow I'll be a little smart about this from Shlomo Eger.